What's that bowl?
Jack squinted in displeasure. Even though the teenager used the redoubts and Matrans units, he was no fan of technology, and this smacked of pre-dark science on a major scale.
That, my friend, is a radio telescope, and it seems to be fully restored.
Ryan scowled. A Skytalker.
Has Silas managed to launch something into orbit?
Not here. I've seen spaceports, and this has none of the right machines. No fuel tanks or fire equipment. No bunkers. But it sure as hell was built to do something important.
SETI.
Coming in, madam?
SETI. That dish antenna was an old project even before the nuke war. The search for extraterrestrial life. The government was trying to talk, or at least listen, to alien civilizations. See if we were alone in the universe.
Dean looked away from the dish.
You mean people on other worlds? Never thought of such a thing.
Most considered it crazy. Even if we reached anybody, the messages would have taken dozens or even hundreds of years to get there and come back.
We ask the question, and our great-grandchildren hear the answer. Indeed, that most certainly does seem like a waste of time and resources.
Doesn't matter. Ryan slid a finger under his eye patch to gently scratch. The salt from the Carolina Basin had never fully washed out of the scarred hole, even with their bath in the freshwater river.
Some pre-dark whitecoat tried to talk with another in space. Doesn't matter now. But this must be the home base for Silas and the Blue Shirts. Only question is, what is the bastard using the antenna for?
Not for talking with alien beings. Aliens. Ha!
JB removed his fedora and wiped the sweat off the inside. Above them, the darkening sky rumbled ominously, lightning flashing from cloud to cloud.
Satellite.
Christy brushed back her wild profusion of fiery red hair. The cascade moved about her fingers in a familiar fashion.
Maybe he found something still in orbit and is trying to use this radio to talk to it.
Jack went straight to the point.
Weapon or recon?
The woman shrugged.
Wreck would be pointless. Got to be a weapon of some kind. Missiles, maybe.
Fabulous. Just what the world needs. Another Sky Dark to finish the job of exterminating humankind.
Ryan started down the hill.
I want to get closer. We need to know what's going on.
The ground sloped even more sharply as they walked down the hillside, the angle becoming so pronounced the companions stopped walking and slid along the seats of their pants. Any attempt at running would have sent them tumbling head over heels into the valley below. A ridge in the slope dropped 5 feet straight down onto a gentler angle. A few yards away, a split rail fence extended across the slope, bare wires resting on glass knobs, intertwined with the green wood.
That new.
Picking up a stick, Dean started forward.
I'll see if it's live.
Don't. If that's electrified, a touch might send off a signal that we're here. Live wires can be rigged like the proximity fuse of a bomb.
The boy dropped the stick and backed away. Going near the fence, Ryan aimed the Stire at the ville below and adjusted the focus of the telescopic sights to infinity. Pulling out his Navy telescope, JB extended the tube to its fullest length and did the same. There was a quarry to the south, which seemed to have had a major collapse. Tough break for the stonecutters, but of no interest to them. Both men glanced briefly at the slaves hauling boxes to the dish antenna, then scrutinized the stone wall for weak points. The gate was impressive, but the section opposite the quarry was only 2 courses high.
6 feet?
Maybe less. If we need to gain entrance, that's the doorway we'll use.
Check. Lots of wags near the base of the dish. Might be the garage, or their bolt hole.
It's a fort. There are no windows for ventilation.
Sweeping the compound, Ryan froze as he spied an LAV-25 parked near the Quonset hut. The metallic structure had bars on the windows, an armored door, and was closed off with electric fencing. Whatever was inside was very important to these people. Inside the fencing, a group of blues with blasters stood rigidly at attention around a tall, almost feline man with silvery hair, a pronounced widow's peak, and bushy eyebrows. Dressed in a white laboratory coat, the thin man was leaning heavily on a wooden cane, obviously favoring his left leg.
That's where Doc stabbed him.
wish it had been the heart.
Doc stared into the vill, unable to see anything clearly, but imagining every detail.
It's Silas.
Ryan adjusted the focus with fingertip pressure. The circle view through the crosshairs jumped into crystal clarity.
That other fellow must be the chief of the Sekhmen. He's not saluting, and they appear to be arguing.
Silas didn't exactly tolerate the opinions of others.
Christie squinted at the distant figures. The woman's vision was greater than most people's, but this was beyond even her best.
Much less that of his staff.
Dark Knight! If we only had a weapon with good range, we could ace them both right here and now.
That would pay many debts.
As the wind ruffled his long silvery hair, Duck's heart was pounding hard. But he somehow maintained an outward calm. Kidnapper, torturer, killer. What mere words could describe the lunatic genius behind Overproject Whisper and all of its subdivisions? That had taken Dr. Theophilus Tanner away from his beloved wife and children.
Emily.
And for the tiniest flicker of time, he thought he heard her call his name in return. But it was only the cold mountain winds, moaning through the pines of the Tennessee Valley. Stepping closer, Mildred placed a hand on the old man's arm, and squeezed gently. Doc started to speak, but his voice broke, and he turned away from the valley.
Chilling the bastards would be nice, but we still need to find out what they're doing with that freaking big dish.
True. But it would be a lot easier to wreck if the Baron and his top gun were both breathing dirt.
Ryan worked the bolt on the stire, then wrapped the strap around his muscular forearm to help steady his aim. The angle was wrong, so he lay down and placed the barrel on the lowest rail of the fence. The electric wires hummed above, but he reasoned his blaster was far enough away to not set off an alarm. JB collapsed his telescope.
Can't do it. Not shouldn't, but you can't. It's beyond the range of your blaster.
Beyond the effective range.
Ryan was studying the wind push as it propelled a stray piece of paper along the roof of a building. The air was moving faster up here, slower down there. That meant less shearage, but greater density.
The rounds will reach them, just not with their full force.
What good do bruises?
Means it'll only chill the Muty Maker, but not remove his entire head.
Ryan wiggled into a more comfortable position. The short grass was itchy under him, a rock pressing into his hip. The Deathlands warrior ignored the tiny disturbances and concentrated on the silver-haired man near the APC. The element of surprise was his, but if he missed this time, Silas might stay inside until further notice, never giving the companions another clear shot. Was it worth the risk? Should he take the shot?
Fuck yes.
Taking a deep breath and holding it, he placed the crosshairs of the scope on the white coat's chest, moved it a foot to the left, then 6 inches up, and fired. But even before he finished pulling the trigger, Ryan remembered Overton's bulletproof jacket. Quickly, he worked the bolt and fired again, lower this time, then again, slightly to the left, and once more, adjusting to the right.
Fool! Moron!
Silas raged at the young Sekhmen, stamping his good foot and gesturing at the exposed wiring of the transformer.
Look at this mess! You have the goddamn fence wired completely wrong! I told you a looped circuit, so that a break in one area will not leave us defenseless across the entire fence. Looped! Don't you know the word?
Sir, I can handle this later. We should be inside, out of sight.
Silas glared at him in outrage.
Not until we have this fixed. The electric fence is our main protection from Ryan or another slave revolt, and this idiot screwed up the wiring.
Lashing out, Silas hit the man with his cane.
Now get gloves and fix the circuits while it's hot!
I'm not sure where the gloves are, sir.
Do it anyway.
The other Sekhmen murmured in fear.
While it's hot? I could be chilled, sir!
Imperiously, Silas glared at the cringing man.
I have more Sekhmen if you should fail.
Damp with sweat, the blue shirt looked to his chief for assistance.
Do as the commander orders. And next time, if you don't know what to do, ask for help before figuring it out yourself.
But sir, I...
Enough! Stop weeping like a caned child. Do your job or die!
Turning toward the Quonset hut, Silas took a single step and was violently knocked backward a full yard.